There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
You know, I ask myself all the time, what the heck is a small town football, former football coach like me doing on broadcasting in Wisconsin? How the heck did that happen? Coach Dave sitting in again tonight for my buddy Rob Pugh. And, you know, as I said last time, I appreciate Rob that he trusts me enough to do the show, because somebody once told me that, speaking about me, they said, "Hey, Coach Dave, you know what? You're like the Dr. Kevorkian of church growth." You guys remember who Dr. Kevorkian was, right? And I don't mean to be that way. I guess it's the competitive nature in me. It's the idea that, you know, I don't like to lose. I don't lose easily. That I love to engage in the battle. I'm a competitive guy, all of that. And Rob Pugh's been a guy who, throughout all this mess and everything that's going on and the crucible that we find ourselves in, Rob still opens the door, invites me to come in. And I don't know how many complaints he gets, but I just appreciate it, man. I just appreciate it. Because one of the things that I think, we got a great show. Hang on a second. We got a Wisconsin guy on here tonight, you know. One of the things that's really, from my perspective, I don't know what's happened to Christianity. The idea that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who was probably next to John the Baptist, who Jesus said, of all those born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And what was it that John the Baptist did? Why, he spoke truth to power, didn't he? John the Baptist went to the king and told the king's wife, or told the king that his wife was a slut. Basically, you can read it, really ticked off the king, and the king threw him in jail. And then John gets in jail, and some of his buddies come and visit him, some other disciples. And John basically says, "Where's Jesus? You mean to tell me I've been standing up for Jesus? I get thrown in jail and he not even come and visit me?" And so they carry the word back to Jesus, said, "Man, it'd be really good, Lord, if you went and visited John." It's amazing what Jesus said. He said, "Listen, guys, do me a favor." He said, "You go back and tell John that the blind see and the lame walk. You do your thing, John. I'll do my thing. You play your role and I'll play mine." That's really been, for me, it's been a really, really encouraging time for me in my walk and in my life, because why? I'm an ambassador. The Lord trusts me enough that he sends me. He doesn't have to go. He sends me. He trusts me to go do it. And somewhere along the line in modern American Christianity, the idea of speaking the truth, standing up for what's right, declaring the word of the Lord in regards to a situation, somehow along the line, that became hate. Huh? Hey, I hate to tell you this. The Bible says that he hates with a perfect hatred. What? Oh, yeah. In fact, Bible says, I wish I had it in front of me right here today, that God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, I don't know where you live, but to me, a worker of iniquity is a person. It's a person that does something. And the Bible says that God hates those people. But what? We know this from our religious training, that the gospel is for the lost guy. It is for that sinner. It is for that worker of iniquity. But we live in a culture and in a society today where if you're going to be a Christian, brother, you're not allowed to be judgmental. You're not allowed to say anything harsh. You're not allowed to stand up and be counted. You're supposed to be loving and tolerant and diverse and all that stuff. It really isn't the gospel.
Amen.
So we're really, I love that opportunity to come here because it's a new audience for me. And as I said, Rob has had many, many opportunities to kick me to the curb and he hadn't done it. And I just appreciate Rob Pugh for his bravery. But I have a personal investment in what we're going to talk about today, friends. And by the way, I like to make the show interactive. So we'll give you a chance to come in and ask some questions in a minute. But it's personal for me tonight. And I'll tell you why. Because the guy that we're going to have on, the man we're going to have on, I call him the guy, Pastor Ray LeBlanc, kind of, if I can say it, kind of flew out of my coop, if you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to let Ray talk the story. He lives right there, and he's in Marshfield. He's in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And I don't know, a long time ago was Ray. Ray LeBlanc shows up. I was having an event going on here in Ohio, and Ray LeBlanc shows up. I didn't know. Where'd you come from, dude? Where'd you come from? And he starts to tell me his story. And next thing I know, he's kind of hanging around and he was helping. And we developed a relationship. And through a series of events, I had the honor to ordain Ray into the ministry. And he was a single guy at that time, flying around in a camper. And next thing I know, boom, David Arthur says 2018. That's a long time ago. And lo and behold, he ends up in Wisconsin, of all places. And what's he do? Starts a church. Come on, folks. Come on. And that's one of the things I'm really proud about here at Coach Dave Live. Love us or lump it or like it, whatever it is. We raise up doers. Is it safe to say that, Ray? We raise up doers.
Amen.
And we got them, folks. We got doers all across America. And I'm not here to make it sound pat me on the back, what a great guy I am. No, I just put guys in the team, in the game. Hey, we need a right tackle. Anybody here willing to play right tackle? And Ray raises his hand. Yeah, I'd like to play right tackle. Anybody willing to be center? David Arthur said, yeah, I'll be center. Anybody want to be wide receiver? And Randy Lunch, yeah, I'll be wide receiver. Anybody want to be quarterback? And Dave Allison said, yeah, I'll be quarterback. And anybody want to be tailback? And Chad Essex in Texas said, yeah, I'll be tailback. And all we did, folks, all we do is we find men and women who are called of God and give them the opportunity to step into the game. That's all we do here. That's all we do here. And here's the great promise, although I'm not going to take the time to pull it up on the screen. The Bible promises this. Are you ready? Jesus, when he's speaking to the disciples before the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, I'd like to preach on that, but I don't have time to do that. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. You're going to be hated of all men. What? Jesus said, you want to serve me? You're going to be hated of all men. That's why when John the Baptist got locked up, he got locked up and nobody came and saved him because they hate him. John was carrying a message of hate. He was a hate monger and a homophobe. And you with me, right? You tracking with me? And what we try to do here at Coach Dave Live is we try to help raise up men and women to walk into the call that God's put on their heart. Now, you got to have the call, and you got to have the desire and the willingness to do it. You got to have the willingness to work and be hated and struggle. You got to be willing to do that. But it's all kind of basic training. So I wanted to lay that out there to know that. Can I pound on my chest a minute? I feel so proud when I see Pastor Ray LeBlanc doing what he's doing. Doing what he's doing, knowing that somehow I played a small part in this. And I said, Ray, come on, Ray, you can do it. You can do it, Ray. And Ray said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And how he ended up in Marshfield around Rob Pugh, that's a whole other story, and we're not going to get in this. But I want you to know that here at Coach Dave Live, we have what I would call a nationwide ministry. We got guys everywhere who are finally engaged in the game. So forgive me, or don't forgive me, but thank you for giving me that 10 minutes to kind of blow the horn of what it is that we do here at Coach Dave Live. And we try to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry, to go into all the world and be the salt of the earth, to teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So it's a real honor to be able to be here tonight and bring my buddy Ray in. And folks, we're going to get into it. And I see David Arthur's with us tonight too. David, I'm glad that you joined us, because you're going to be able to amen a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here. John 4, it always slips my brain. The Bible says that the whole creation groans. Anybody seen any groaning going on in America? Huh? Is anybody other than me looks around us and says, pardon me, what the double H double hockey sticks is going on? What is going on? And the church doesn't seem to want to get engaged, doesn't want to be involved. They're so rapture conscious. They're so escapism conscious. They won't engage in the battle. And that's my heart's desire. Not to go to the found, although I love working with the found, to go to the lost. Say, come on, brother. I don't care what you've done. Huh? You could have been a tranny, but you can come out of it, man. You can come out of it. There's redemption. Somewhere along the line, we've kind of lost that marriage. Sorry for the rambling. Let me jump in here real quick, okay? Here's why I got Pastor Ray LeBlanc on with me tonight. I'm going to let him tell a little bit of his story. But Ray has been actively behind the scenes, although not always behind the scenes, actively engaging with the, I don't know what they call it, Ray, the pride event, the homosexual event, whatever it is there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We got some great news. But before we get to that great news, Ray, just give us, other than I kind of blew a hole in a lot, give us a little bit of your background. How you became a pastor, why Marshfield, and then we'll go from there, brother. Because, Ray, you weren't a pastor your whole life. You weren't trained in cemetery, and you didn't jump through all the proper hoops and do all that stuff. You was just called, weren't you? You were just called, and you answered the call.
Hey, man, I don't consider, you know, that's one of the titles. I mean, it's fivefold ministry. We're evangelists. All of these items at one particular time in our lives, if you're following after the Lord. But I'll tell you, David, at the beginning of Rob Pugh's intro, when he does his intro, he with the music, and he shows different pictures of people. There's one there, if you're watching it, there's three of us, two girls and myself, holding up placard signs facing the, that was in Columbus, Ohio. That was one of the first times I met up with Rob Pugh, and that was because you dragged us there, kicking and screaming, but we went.
To the second largest gay pride parade in America, yep. Columbus, Ohio. We went there, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And so he's got that picture. That's about the first time I met up with Rob Pugh. He snapped that picture of me and two others holding up signs facing the parade, the gay parade there in Columbus. So that was through meeting up with you. I went there because you had put out a call for us to come. And I engaged with Rob Pugh at that particular time. I was in Tennessee. A long story short, I met up with him a couple of more times through events that you were engaged in and were a speaker. And one of the last ones, he said he opened up a ministry center. He's a visionary. And he opened up a ministry center downtown Marshfield, and he needed somebody to help him run it during the week. And I prayed about it. And the next thing I know, the Lord led me here, and I got in contact with Rob Pugh, and he set me up to run the ministry there for a couple of years until he sold the building and moved on. And after he moved on to Wausau, which is about 35 miles away, I continued staying here. We already had built up a few people that were faithful servants and warriors that won. And one of the reasons that held together, Coach, is because you came out one time, that was before I was even there, and you took the people that are still with me and engaged out in the streets and showed them how to engage with the abortion signs and stood out in the front of the street. And that was the first time they'd done any of that.
Amen.
So that fire that you lit is continued. And I just picked up the banner from there.
That's right.
We had a few people that were willing to stick around, and our numbers grew to, we got about 15 to 18 people that are with us today. So
it's like a tag team handoff, isn't it, Ray? Ray,
yeah,
Ray,
exactly.
I just passed the torch to you, and you said, I'm going to run with it. Ray, just encourage some people out there without embarrassing you. How old are you, Ray?
76.
You're 76 years old.
Yeah.
And when, Ray, did you become a pastor?
Well, we were ordained in Kenosha, Missouri. One February icy day, you had a call to go down with Kevin Van Story was down at his church, and we were going to go out and stand in front of Planned Parenthood, and I had my little red van with me, and it was nothing but a ice slick that day. But yet, brave souls that we were, about six of us went out there in front of the Planned Parenthood, and then we had a meeting afterwards where You ordained us. We got together.
Wow. And, what year would that have been?
Yeah.
I think that
was 2018. I think it was around 2018.
So eight years ago.
Yeah, about 8 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Not seminary trained.
Right.
Not spending your whole life, but just a call on your life.
And
just a call.
I kept that card in my back pocket. It's good for maybe getting into the prison ministry, or you stop at an accident somewhere on the road and say, hey, there's somebody hurt. I'm a clergy. I'd like to go and talk to that person for a minute.
Amen.
And,
open doors.
So open the door. And that was my intent. I wasn't looking for no pastoralship. And I really, on a smaller scale, I guess I'd consider that. But we're just a fellowship, like the Book of Acts, a church that's gathering together and wanting to be engaged in the culture.
But Ray, you're literally your church. I hate to use that term because it is nobody's church, right?
Yeah.
The group that you're pastoring, you're actually taking them to the streets, though, aren't you, Ray? You're out and engaging.
Oh yeah, we've gone. Absolutely. We go to all the drag queen events that we can, to the abortion clinics. We had ICE protesters out here not too long ago. We went for that. And then we had No King's Day. We go out for that. And we have local parades, and we're out there for that, sharing out the gospel. There's multitude of opportunities, and we engage as much as we possibly can. And so we want to get to, I'm sorry, but what we want to get to here with this event, with the Marshfield Pride that goes on, it was going to happen every June, and it has for 5 years. Well, this is the first year they canceled out in June, and
we're going to dig into that. Let me lay a foundation here first.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you understand that, folks, that you all understand this, that there's a call. There was a call on Ray LeBlanc's life. Maybe he didn't go to cemetery or what. It was a call on his life. One of the things that we're supposed to do as Christian leaders, whatever, call that whatever, the fivefold ministry group, is what? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So I look at a guy here at Coach Dave Live, Past Assault Ministries. I'm an ordained minister. I look at, I said, damn, that guy, there's a player. There's a guy who wants to get in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think, I've known him well enough. I trust him well enough. I'm gonna ordain Ray, because if I ordain him, golly, he can go visit people in the jails. It'll open up doors maybe to get into other speaking opportunities, because he's got that little card that says he's an ordained minister, right? And when we did that and we put that in Ray's hand, off running, he went with it. And as we often say at Coach Dave Live, folks, whether you know this or not, your pastor isn't the expert. He may be the expert in your church, but there's probably other guys in town, other pastors maybe, who are more learned in the ways of the Lord from, Bible training, Bible school. Ray didn't want to get into all that stuff. He wants to be the gospel. He wants to go to the streets. He wants to share the gospel of the kingdom of God with those who are lost. How much biblical training do you need to be able to do something like that? So our ability to be able to ordain ministers through Past the Salt Ministry is for this, to give him the authority to be able to go do it. Ray, I just wanted to explain that to her, because I think there are other people who are listening who will see this, who maybe they want to get involved. Right. They, Coach, I would like to get involved. And, you know, it's like student teaching. Come on, man, we'll train you how to do it, and we'll get you up and running with it. And I look at David Arthur's in here today. David, are you ordained? Did we ever ordain you, David?
Yes.
David Arthur's an ordained ministry. Mm-hmm. Does he have a big congregation? What does that have to do with anything? He never claimed to be Joel Osteen, but he's out on the streets with the power of God and the approval of the government to be able to be a minister. That's what we try to do here. We try to help you get engaged. So, Ray, I kind of rambled there, but I think it's important for people to understand. I'm just a football coach. Now, hey, let me brag. I've got a PhD in educational administration, but that ain't worth a hoot in hell when you're trying to share the gospel of the kingdom of God and got nothing to do with it. And I got ordained. And a guy ordained me into the ministry, and I've been running full speed as a minister ever since then. Okay, folks? And truth be told, so many of the guys who are in the pulpit, can I use this term? Basically are good for nothing in regards to the culture and society and what's going on. So here's Ray LeBlanc, who becomes this ordained minister, and do I say it, Ray, in a little storefront church that he starts. And Ray says, you know what? Marshfield's got a big, they got a big pride parade here. They got transgender going on here. They got all this stuff here. Ain't about time somebody done something about it. So Ray, we started a process of doing something about it. Take us through that process, Ray, because, hey folks, just so you know, the parade, I don't even know what term to call it, that's held every year in Marshfield, ain't going to be held this year. Isn't that right, Ray?
Amen.
It ain't going to be held this year. Yep. And why isn't it going to be held this year? So, Ray, take us through this process, because this wasn't just something that happened literally overnight. You've been working hard, planting seeds, as they say, just stacking rows, man, to get to where they are. Share with us a little bit, Ray. Before we go to your comment here, when you showed up at the city council meeting, how did you get where you are in regards to this fight, Ray?
Well, like I say, 5 years ago is when I started engaging with these gay pride events coming into our town.
Hey, Ray, can I stop you a second? Can we show, Spencer, could we show some of the pictures? Would it be okay to do that now, Ray, to show some of the pictures?
Yeah, we could bring them on the screen.
Go ahead, Ray.
So folks, it's dry queen tipping right there, right?
This goes on in our towns, in public schools. Come on, man. And so Ray said, we're going to start engaging. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, that's Wenzel Park, and Wenzel is a big name here. Wenzel is a farmer that made sausages, and they're still a very popular name. And Rail is a trucking company. And these are the two names that are above this Wenzel Family Park. And I've contacted both of them. They're pretty they're up there in age, but they were pretty irate at what's going on. So that brought some light into Marshfield's leadership that we're watching you guys. And what you're doing ain't very good. And the very first year that I was involved in doing this with a group of our group is they were all gathered at the Gay Pride. It's a block long, this park. And we took, to start it off with, a big boom box on wheels. And I YouTubed the blowing of the shofar, a loud, steady blowing of the shofar. And we gathered around the whole perimeter, walking around them, blowing the shofar and raising the banner of Christ. And they stopped and looked. And I mean, they were looking with fear in their eyes. So we realized, hey, this is a powerful way to approach this thing. And we stayed there and engaged with them. So that was the first time. But, you know, I wouldn't have been able to have that kind of courage if I wasn't led and guided and directed through some of the processes that you brought us through, Coach. Mm-hmm. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. So that continues.
Hey, Ray, listen, I tell people when you're standing there holding those signs, that don't mean your knees ain't knocking. Just make them knock in rhythm, brother. Right? Just make them knock in rhythm. That's all you can do.
Well, the first time I met Coach, you said before we could do anything, you said, "Hey, you guys, can you just do this? Can you just stand there like this, right? And I'll do the talking. You just stand there." And that opened up the doors. That's what I did. And then the Holy Spirit comes on. I can't keep my mouth shut. You know, but you need that leadership to draw the people out. So. Yeah, so that's where it started. That was a good 5 years ago. And
they've been having the parade every 5 years.
Yeah.
City Council approves it.
Yeah.
Ray, what's the name they give to this parade?
Well, it's called Marshfield Pride.
Marshfield Pride.
Yeah.
Hey, David Arthur, we're screwed up, aren't we? We're proud of what we ought to be ashamed of, and we're ashamed of what we ought to be proud of. Isn't that really, don't we really have it the back way, right?
Absolutely. That's the way it's been ever since the fall.
That's right. Pride cometh before the fall. And so they're out there being proud of what? Ray, what are they proud of? When it gets right down to it.
Yeah.
What are they proud of?
They're proud of their lascivious lifestyle. They want everybody to acknowledge them, and they want everybody to accept them. Mm-hmm. As normal, you know, David can speak more to that than anybody, because he was the poster child for this whole movement. And man, he's got one heck of a testimony now that that's just powerful, right?
But let's move back a little bit. We'll get Dave in here too. We see this picture. Spencer, run through a couple more pictures, because Ray, the bottom line that you guys have used as a weapon. By the way, folks, that would be a man there, not a woman.
Yeah.
The problem that you have highlighted, and I'm going to play a video here in a second, is the children protecting the eyes and what? The conscience, the innocence of little children that the city of Marshfield is going to what? Support and what's the word I'm looking for? Promote?
Mm-hmm.
This debauchery in front of little children, that's really where you've placed your argument, isn't it? Look at some of these pictures.
Yeah. There's my warrior crew right there. There's Penny and Tom and Mike. And another guy came all the way from Oshkosh, Chris. So, and there's more out of picture.
This little girl looks like she's 12, 13 years old. And she's dressing up and supporting the Pride Parade. Now, you guys aren't calling her a sinner and all that kind of stuff, right? Right? You're just trying to say, honey, look what you're involved. Folks, can you believe that we are okaying this for our little children? Yeah. What if, boy, oh boy, oh boy, doing this in public schools? And David Arthur will get in here in a second, because they are doing it in public schools. Sorry, Ray, I'm just kind of running all over the place. But for people who have never been involved with this, they got to understand exactly what's going on. Ray, can I stop you a second?
Yeah.
Hey, David Arthur, who's a former transsexual, transgender, call him whatever you want to. David, it's about grooming, isn't it? And if you would, Dave, explain to the viewers here what we mean by grooming. Why do they want to come out into the streets in front of little children, Dave?
Let's see, the children have always been the target. So they are targeting children because as of when the drag queen story time started, they actually had on their website that their target audience was 3 to 6 year old. And they said, because those are the most formative years. Wow. So they're very boldly and bluntly targeting children. They're targeting them so that they can desensitize them. They desensitize them with explicit materials and explicit anything that they can show them or let them hear that's explicit, that sexualizes them. Once they've been sexualized, then they're much easier to victimize. And that's the process. That's the process, David, that happened to me. It's called recruiting.
So they want to get out there and they want to tell these young kids, come on, folks, this is really, really critical. They want to tell those kids, oh, your mom and dad are old fashioned. Your teachers, they're old fashioned. We're in a new America now. Jesus loves everybody. You've been to church, haven't you? You know that Jesus loves everybody. And, you know, they've been so picking on those of us who are gay. And we just want to be loved. And we just want to be accepted. And David, they want to drive a wedge again between the generations, don't they?
Absolutely. And that is the target also. That's why they're trying to remove parental rights in the government schools, because they're telling them the parents are the enemy. You know, your see what happens too is they're called glitter families. So glitter families actually are sex trafficking children on the streets. They pick us up. I was picked up at 14 by a glitter family. They would do what they call love bomb you, which is a tactic, is a grooming tactic. And then once they love bomb you, they tell you your natal family doesn't love you. They don't care about you, or they would have affirmed your delusions and confusion. So we're going to affirm that. We're going to love on you. We're going to show you the way. And then after you get comfortable, they say, well, now it's time to earn your keep. And that's when they start trafficking you and pimping you out.
So David, they know this indoctrination works, or they wouldn't fight so hard against the Christian evangelism in the schools, right?
Absolutely.
They understand that if you get them as young children, you have a better chance of keeping them. So they want to keep Christ out. They want to evangelize transgenderism, gay agenda. And then they think we'll get them. And at some point, grandma and grandpa, like me, like Ray, we're going to die off. And thank God we'll have us a tolerant society, and we'll all get along and be one big happy family. That's the goal.
Absolutely. So if Spencer, if you could click on that link I put in the chat and then move forward from there is, it'll just show you the pictures of what is going on at these prideful events that they call progress, right? This is not progress. Progress isn't allowing, taking your children to a sexualized event and letting your children hold on to the appendage of some pervert in a purple fuzzy costume.
Like a mother, stands there and smiles, and right, the mother, wow.
Yeah, she smiles, she's posing with the kids. And if you just keep clicking through them pictures, Spencer, to the right, yeah, you'll see, like, this is not progress. This is degrading. This is inhuman. Satanic
love
queer,
is not
trans
sin.
Man.
Satanic, yeah. Queer trans folks. I thought there was a separation between the church and state. That's religion, isn't Satanism religion? I think so. Keep going.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry about that. No. So this is not progress, right? What are these children in the background seeing? They're seeing men with dog faces on and tails being walked like they're animals. This is where the whole fairies movement comes in, right? So the fairies, while they're letting children identify as fairies, fairy stems from a very dark, sadistic fetish. It's a sexual fetish. It entails pedophilia, bestiality, necrophilia, all kinds of wicked, perverted fetishes. And that is what they're presenting to children. This is how they're being desensitized and sexualized.
David, look at that little girl in the striped shirt. And the look on her face as she's looking at this.
Yeah, if you look at the faces on a lot of these children in these photos, it should break your heart. Your soul should be tormented when you see these things.
A few more pictures. Let's go through a few more pictures, then we'll get Ray back in here. Drag queen. Wow. Reading to young children. Isn't that what they're doing here, Ray? David, isn't that what this guy's going to do? Going to read to young children?
Dressed like a demon.
Rainbow, stolen God's rainbow. Huh? Boy Scouts at the Pride Parade. Boy Scout having a rainbow suspenders on. Rainbow flag. Look at this, folks. Look at this. Guy standing naked. How can they do that in public? Go to another one. If you've never been to one of these parades, folks, you'd never believe it. David. Ray, help me out. That would be men, wouldn't it? Be dressed like that, David? Those aren't
all men, and that's a little boy as well.
Those are all men. Be better for you to put a millstone around your neck. Go to the next one. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this one went to a drag queen story time and actually let children lay on top of him.
Where are the parents?
They're cheering it on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me stop right here. Let's make a transition here. Oh, there we are. Oh, there's a groomer. There's the enabling parent, and there's the victim. Yep. Hey, folks, that's not a woman reading that book. It's a man reading that book. So let me switch gears here because we're running a little bit out of time. Thanks, Dave. Stay right there. So Ray LeBlanc, you said, about time somebody done something here. And you went to city council You've been doing it for a while. And you said to city council, how can we let them do this, this obscenity to our children? How can we let this happen? And Ray, what was their response initially when you started to go?
Well, when you go before the city council, Coach, you got 3 to 5 minutes to speak your piece, and they do not comment back. They don't respond to what you have to say. So you really don't have an opportunity to engage with them or to counter whatever they're going to say. So all you can do is get there, plant your seed, and try to make it stick into their consciousness that what they're doing is wrong and that they're responsible to change it.
Do you think the old saying is true that the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Yeah, hey, Ray, for instance, if they were to fill the city council chambers and people outside standing in the sidewalk objecting to this perversion being taught to their children, Ray, do you think the city council might view things a little bit differently?
Absolutely. That'd be a major effect. And our enemy knows that. That's why this year when I went before them, I did not tell anybody I was doing this. Because last year I notified all the churches around here looking for support. They didn't show up. But somehow, by contacting these churches, the LGBTQ crowd
folks,
showed up instead.
Don't miss that. Ray notified other churches that he was going to go to the city council and invited them, please, to come stand with him against this drag queen parade that was going to go on. And not only did they not come, the churches and the pastors, but somehow word leaked out that you were going to do that, and the homo crowd showed up. Do I have that right, Ray?
Exactly. And that place was packed out so much that they were outside in the hall and out the door. They couldn't get in. Only me and two other people had a chance to speak against this. And then they just, the rest was all the LGBTQ trying to convince them. Yeah.
Okay. So Ray LeBlanc, hey Ray, when was the parade supposed to be held this year?
This Saturday, coming up.
It was scheduled on this Saturday.
Yeah.
And was it 2 weeks ago, Ray? However long ago, a couple weeks ago, you showed up at the city council and Ray, you presented the law to them, did you not?
Yeah. This is the second time I've done it. And I can't credit that this meeting that I had with them is what made them cancel. But it's a lot of things behind the scenes that have happened.
I'd say it. I'd claim it, brother.
Yeah.
I would claim it. So Ray, folks, Spencer, go ahead. And is it like 3 minutes? Or something, yeah. Ray LeBlanc shows up at the city council meeting in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and makes a public comment regarding the parade. And Ray, the protection of little children. Isn't that really, wasn't that your focus, Ray? You didn't come in and call them a bunch of queers, a bunch of names, a bunch of perverts. You didn't come and say any of that. You said, are we going to protect our children or not?
That's the most powerful resource tool that we have is to not come against them, but what they're doing. If I can stop them from 18 and under being exposed to this, we've won a big prize.
Hey, Ray, I'll bet you this. I don't know. I don't live in Wisconsin. But I bet there's a law in Wisconsin against open containers. You're not allowed to stand on the street and drink beer. Are you all allowed to have big get a keg and let's tap the keg and be out on the street? They're not allowed to do that. Yep. But they're allowed to come out and parade this debauchery. They're allowed to do that. Well, old Ray LeBlanc.
I address it here. Yeah.
Yeah, old Ray LeBlanc shows up with the law. So, folks, this is about 3 minutes. Ray, public comment. Ray, I'm so proud of you because you got a target on your back, brother. You got a target on your back, but it's well worth it. Because, folks, listen. He didn't make it about the gay agenda. He didn't make it about the trannies. He didn't make it about the cross-dressers. He made it about the children. Because that's what it's about, isn't it, Ray? Man, so go ahead and play this public comment, June 9. So, Ray, we're looking at what, a week ago? This is just a week ago? Friends, remember, the parade's canceled. No parade in Marshfield. Go ahead and play this.
Yeah, my name's Pastor Ray LeBlanc. I'm with the Remnant Fellowship Church here in Marshfield, and I live at 309 West 6th Street. I'm here today to address a situation that comes up every year around this time, and that's the gay pride event at Wenzel Park. And I'm an advocate for the children under 18 years of age is my concern, the performances that are taking place there. That's why I'm here to address this issue today. As you can see, this was one of the Wenzel Park events last year where you see a little child being groomed to tip. There's a bunch of pictures.
Can you freeze that? Pull that back there, Spencer. Take that back a little bit. I want to read it to you. Because Ray brought a sign in that has the public law on it. Wisconsin state statute law says causing a child under the age of 18 to view or listen to sexual activity is a Class A felony. Boom, right in their face. Go ahead.
There's a bunch of pictures I have taken. There's one on the top there. I know you can't probably see it very good, but it's one of the drag queens that invaded the splash pool where the little kids were playing. And Facebook would lit
up. That's a man, by the way. That's a man.
Over this event last year. And there's a few more there, but I want to read this quickly. I know I only got 5 minutes, so I gave you each a copy of what the statement is that I'm going to say. So I'm here once again this year because I am deeply troubled and concerned at the lack of this committee to properly address the concerns that arise here in Marshfield during the month of June. I don't believe the city of Marshfield should be in any way condoning, promoting, or allowing these sexual motivated groups called the Marshfield Pride, LGBTQ, the Rainbow Coalition, and the Drag Queens to be able to perform in the front of our innocent children under the age of 18 years old. It is quite obvious that this is all about sex. Grooming of our underage children should not be allowed, as you can see by these pictures.
There's a law against it.
This child is being taught and encouraged to give a dollar bill to a man dressed up in provocative woman's clothing, overemphasizing their sexual body parts with exaggerated buttocks and breasts. That's what they do. This is called tipping, and we in the adult world understand what the concept of tipping a sex performer is all about. Exposing and performing sexual acts. Well, this act is not for children to participate in. And for 5 years now, I and many others that are willing to testify have seen and filmed this act and continue to record the lascivious behavior in front of underaged children in Wenzel Family Park. The letter of intent is on the back page there. I present to you today is to encourage you all to re-examine the negative effects that this sexualized group of performers are having on our children. I strongly urge and encourage that no children under the age of 18 may be present at these activities. They can perform inside a building in a fenced off park, such as the state fairgrounds, where it is more isolated and controlled. My main concern and objective is to stop the grooming of our children, stop exposing them to embracing a sexual preference at such an early age, allow them to become adults before introducing them to adult activities. That is why we have laws regarding drinking age at 18 or 21. Alcohol is an adult beverage. That is the reason why we put restrictions on certain sexual movies. Must be 17 years old to go see a movie. Last, your city attorney, Mr. Wolfgram, declared that this statute was not violated because there was no nudity observed. And the statute also mentions I'm almost done. The no child under 18 is to view or listen to a sexual activity. It is a Class A felony. Well, what about the listening part? If they're not exposed to listening to sexual activity, then I guess I need to be re-educated regarding what this sexual activity means. All I see out there at these events is sexual activity, pride being planted throughout the whole park. So this year's Pride event is coming up June 28th again. I just want to encourage you guys to look at this matter a little bit more closer, re-examine it, and see about getting it so that the underage children aren't involved in it. And I thank you for giving me that time. Amen.
Wow. Now, hang on, thank folks. Hang Lord. On, because Ray didn't just Boom. Leave it there. Ray didn't just leave it there. Ray, did you or did you not come up with a letter of intent to sue them? Why, yes, he did, folks. It's on the screen right now. This letter of intent to sue shall serve as formal notice that we intend to commence a lawsuit against the city of Marshfield, requesting in writing and announcing publicly, City of Marshfield will enforce the existing law banning drag queen sexual performances grooming to children under the age of 18 years old. The lawsuit that will be filed against the City of Marshfield pertains to the following code. Statute 948-055, causing a child to view or listen to sexual activity. This statute is not being enforced, and if you do not comply with the settlement demands set forth in this letter, a lawsuit will be filed against the City of Marshfield after 30 days of receipt if no satisfactory settlement is done. We have secured evidence of violation. We have testimonies, documentation, pictures, and videos taken at the Winslow Family Park, and we strongly believe there's a violation of the law and lack of enforcement, and we are seeking relief in the form of enforcement of existing law banning all drag queen activity performance in public with children under 18 years present, as well as enforcing any and all infringements regarding sexual explicit performances when any child under the age of 18 is present. The offer to cure and or settle this matter outside of court is valid for 30 days from the effective date that appears above. After that date, we are going to sue your butt. Sincerely, Pastor Ray B. LeBlanc. And what happened, Ray?
Hey, guess what? I got a letter from the mayor, an email wanting, it's called Steve Bart. He's the city administrator. And he said, the mayor came up and showed me your email that you sent him. And it was this that I sent him. And, he wanted a little bit of clarification because there was a YouTube attachment that showed me at the council meeting, and they didn't want to open it up. He wanted to make sure it wasn't a corrupted file and blah, blah, blah. So at least he reached back to me and contacted me. So I know we got their ear, but I'm still waiting for a positive response.
Right. They want to do the right thing, right? Yeah. But they're only receiving pressure from one side. They're That's only right. hearing from the tranny side. Right. The church side is silent in this. And so you fired the first cannon shot over the walls, and they responded. Did they not? Ray, this would be me. This is what I think. They know they're guilty as hell, Ray.
Yes. And, you know, one of the members is wearing a pride flag when I was approaching it, so I know what side he's on. He was wearing the pride flag there.
Doesn't give him the right to break the law, though. Doesn't give him the right to break the law. Okay, folks, we've rattled on here for 48 minutes. Love to hear from you, your opinions. Hey Ray, what's been the pushback for you? Has your church received pushback? What's the reaction of the people in your church? Are they glad they did it? Are they sorry they did it? Are they embarrassed?
No, everybody in our group are kudos for that, but the rest is crickets.
Crickets from the rest of the churches.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, I got a hiccup. Ray, why do you think that is? Or I'm going to ask maybe even David Arthur or anybody else out there. Why is it you think that the pastors don't want to get involved with protecting little children when the Bible says that it would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead even one of these little ones that believe in me? What do you think it is? David, what do you think? And then Ray will come back to you. What do you think, Dave? Or anybody else is able to opine? Come on in.
I think that there's an array of reasons, right? Various reasons. I think that there's perversion within the church that they don't want revealed. I think that they are fear. They fear this cult. They fear the LGBTQ trans queer cult. You know, they don't want to lose money if they offend certain couples who might have homosexual identified youth or trans identified youth, then they offend that couple, then that couple leaves and they take their pocketbook with them. There's so many different reasons, and we know that perversion is in the church, because one of the first churches that I spoke at, one of the deacons was actually one of my clients when I was a transgender prostitute.
Oh my goodness, David, no. Say that again.
One of the deacons of the church. Coach, I stood up and I was giving testimony, and I saw this man sit down in front of me next to his wife and children, and he didn't know who I was, but I knew who he was. But I knew when they put the pictures of the old me on that screen behind me, because he turned so many different shades. He started sweating. He got up. He paced around in the back. And at the end, the pastor said, "Oh, David, did you meet Deacon so-and-so?" And I just looked at him and said, "Well, I haven't," just like that. And I shook his hand and I squeezed his hand and just looked into his eyes. And I just prayed like this would be the wake-up call for that man. But it's in the church. So and they don't want to offend people. Instead of looking at it like we're defending them with the truth against the wiles of the enemy, right? I mean, it's simple. And I would say this too, Ray, keep doing what you're doing. And like Ray said about how they don't want to respond, don't go in there. And this is for anyone that wants to go into a school board meeting or any other kind of meeting. Do not go in there thinking that you are going to change the board's mind. Don't even speak to them. Look at them, but make sure that when you speak, you're speaking to that room full of people behind you, because those are the ones you need to win over. Those are the ones you need on your side.
Amen. Amen. Well said, David. Ray, we got about to, folks, we'd love to hear. If you want to just raise your hand, click on that and come on in. Hey, Ray, you listen to me regularly, so you know where I feel with it. That everything going on is going on with the approval of the local church. And I'm just curious, Ray, I'm certainly that most of the pastors in your community, Marshfield, they know what you've done. They know what you've done. Yeah. And Ray, they probably also know that the parade's been canceled.
Yeah.
Have you heard from any of them, Ray?
No, not a one. They don't want to move out of their comfort zones, like David was explaining. They love the Bible. It's sort of like you explained one time, Coach, that, you know, if you love your wife, you just grovel at her feet and say, you know, I just love you. Well, I just want to stay here and worship and love you. That's all I want to do. Say, well, if you love me, go take the garbage out.
Wash the dishes.
Wash the dish. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to do something. They think, just go in there and sing some worship songs and sing Kumbaya, Kumbaya, and it's all good. And then when they see this kind of stuff going, I think it kind of irritates them, because they know that that's what they should be doing, being doers of the word and not hearers only. But that's where we're at with a lot
of things. So, David, do you think, I'm sorry, Ray, do you think it was the threat of the lawsuit that caused them to capitulate?
I think it got their attention, where some of them were dozing off, and I think it may be a little bit of a wake up call.
It could have been as possible as just their legal guy with legal advice could have got them in the room and said, "Folks, we're going to have a hard time defending this one." Would you agree with that, David? That's probably what happened.
Well, that's what I thought too, and plus on top of it. Everyone can be encouraged, because this is happening all over the country. So there are pride events that are being canceled. There are a lot of vendors. I mean, we're talking even Columbus. Columbus was only had 1/5 of their normal annual budget. Mm. So their finances, the vendors are pulling away. The big companies are pulling away. Their sponsors are pulling away. So be encouraged, because now people are actually seeing that this is perversion and that they are actually targeting children.
Let me take this, go back into my sordid past a little bit here, back 30 years ago, a long time ago. I don't know if you guys ever went to a go-go dancer club. We called them strip clubs, but they were go-go dancers, right? Where a girl got up on a platform and she gyrated as you sat there and drank beer. Would those be legal in public in Marshfield, Ray? Would they be able to put naked, almost, or girls in bathing suits and let them get up on stage and gyrate in front of 8, 9, and 10-year-old children? The answer to that is what, Ray?
I would think no, but you know, things have gotten so out of control that in Madison, which is our liberal state capital area, they're having a naked bike ride. Oh, they're all riding around butt naked, hundreds of them. David, what do you think about that?
And so you asked about, like, how do they allow this with naked, you know, nude people and all of this. And so there's two different things that happen with these permitted events that they get permits for. Some of them, some cities and some places have ordinances that when there is a permitted event, then the group that permitted the event, they have a leeway on their attendees. And then there are other ones where they don't have those options, but the police still turn a blind eye to it to not upset the crowd. For crowd control, the only reason they allow nudity in public is for crowd control when it's during one of these events.
Amen. Amen. Man, we're running up against the clock here. Ray, both you and David, I couldn't be any more proud of you. Ray, what would be some words? Now, David, let me, before I come back to Ray real quickly, because we are short on time. Mm-hmm. You're basically doing this, David, aren't you? That you yourself are presenting these, who anybody will have you, any church that will have you, explain the grooming, exactly what's going on, the spirit behind this thing. You're available to go to churches and wake people up, right, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody can get involved if they don't get informed. And my only goal is to expose all of this and to inform other people. I mean, I walk around with a t-shirt on that says, Ask an Ex-Trans. I walk around with another t-shirt on that says, Ask an Ex-Gay, so that anybody can ask me questions and we can start up some conversations.
Ray, just a couple minutes we have left here. How do you expand this, Ray? Because clearly, Ray, your fellow ministers in Marshfield, Walsall, wherever you Marshfield, they know what's happened, right? They see the results of it. How do we build bridges to these guys, Ray?
I think they need some results to be presented to them. They need to see the ball being moving forward in that direction, and that's where the work is. You have to build that up, and it's going to take time to get to that point. But once they start seeing, it's just like anybody that's when they see a winning team, then they want to be a part of it.
Amen.
You know, until that point, they're just sitting back, waiting to see what you're going to do or somebody else is going to do. And that's why it's difficult to get to this point, because we don't have the big funds like George Soros' team has.
Amen.
When our
oldest daughter, Abby, graduated from Hillsdale College in Michigan, she came home and one of her first jobs was she was an intern at the State House here in Ohio. She answered phones and did that kind of stuff. And she came home from there one time and she says, Dad, I don't get it. I don't get it. She says, if we get 10 phone calls a day regarding any issue, the congressman, the senator, the state rep says, man, the phones are ringing off the hooks. Ray, what does that tell us? What if we could get 100 Christians to make phone calls that we're not okay with this? That would be all that it would take. That's all that it literally would take. Ray, we got less than a minute. Yeah. Wrap this up here for us, buddy.
Yeah, that's it. if we would just engage a few more people, it doesn't take a lot. It does take a handful. You got to have at least a dozen people that are committed and volunteered to it. So start building up that network.
Amen. Amen.
That's all we can do.
Hey, Ray, Dave, listen to this. We're the salt of the earth. We ain't the sugar.
Yeah.
Somewhere along, we got spiritual diabetes. God bless you, Ray, for what you're doing. God bless you, Dave, for standing up. Come on, folks. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's our time now. God bless you, folks. We'll see you.